Amen. How many believes that this morning? Hallelujah. Your standing here this morning is proof of the power of this blood. It will never lose its power. Amen, amen. God bless you. It's so nice to be back together once again. It's so nice to be together for these Labor Day meetings that we've set aside. And, you know, we just had some wonderful meetings so far. Thought the rapture was going to happen last night. The brother said, you know, space is not something, you know, forget about space. And space isn't important. Well, I saw some astronauts here last night. I think there were more in heavenly places than anywhere else. Amen. So we just appreciate the Lord and appreciate so much what he's doing amongst us. And this being Labor Day weekend, you know, if you haven't found that rest yet, you can continue to labor for a few more minutes and enter into that rest. Amen. Labor, your labors against sin will cease. He'll give you peace. He'll give you rest. And then we'll groan and travail to be clothed upon with immortality. Right? That's what's next. That's what we're looking forward to. Amen. If you're visiting this morning, God bless you. We're just so glad to have you with us. Thank you for bringing your lick of fire to be with us. If you're home folk, God bless you. It's nice to have you as well. We just want to remind you that after the service, we have a potluck planned over in the fellowship hall. So I don't want to get your mind on that too soon. But, you know, we don't want to be thinking about that too soon. But if you're visiting, please join us. And I just wanted to make sure we let everybody know in case somebody didn't know and wanted to slip out at the end of the service. So maybe this will be a little hook to keep you around for a little while longer, right? Amen. We are so glad to have our brother Andrew Dodd with us, and we thank him for his labors and traveling as far as he did. You know, came from a foreign country, right? Came from the great white north, from Edmonton, to be with us, and so we're looking forward to what the Lord's put on his heart this morning. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Without further ado, we're going to invite him to come up and take his liberty. And you just pull on the gift of God. You just pull on the word and expect God to speak to you. He'll never disappoint. You got a question, he has an answer. Amen. He'll never disappoint. I need you, Lord. Amen. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Amen. Yes, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Amen. How many can say that this morning? And so I live. I bow my knees and I worship at your throne. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Amen. Amen. One more time, all together. We need
Are you sufficiently impressed with the Lord Jesus Christ? He's wonderful, isn't he? He's been good to us this weekend. I bring you greetings in the name of the Lord from my pastor, Brother Ed, again, and my dad, Brother Tim Dodd. He wanted to send his greetings as well. I greet you, and we're excited to be back in the presence of the Lord. Amen. I heard you guys just practiced a song, and I thought maybe I'd try it. Would that be all right?
Sure.
You know, I want more. Please stay. I sing it, you follow. Okay. That sounds great. Would you give me a key then? What key do you want to sing it in? I know what it's like to be in the presence of the Lord. I'm going to be off key here. And not know what time it is, because time stood still. Well, I'm going to leave it. Amen. Why don't we sing a different chorus? I love him. I love him because he first loved me. Let's sing that together. Amen. I love him. Father, Lord Jesus, we love you, Lord. Father, we love your word. We love your appearing, Lord Jesus. We love it when you just come and just whisper in our ears your little secrets, Father. Things that you don't tell all the little flirters and all the little things that have gone on. But Lord, you come by an honest and a pure heart. Lord, you just enter in and knock on the door. And Father, we want this morning to open our hearts to you. Lord, those of us, Father, that have had you on the inside for maybe a long time, Lord, we want to open every closet this morning. We want you, Father, to come into the bedroom, Lord, and just make love with us, Father. Lord, come, Lord Jesus, we pray. Father, we need you more and more each day. We know the world grows more evil, but Father, you grow sweeter every day. Father, we're so thankful, Lord Jesus, that we know it's a song that's on my heart. We know what it's like to be in the presence of the King. To lose track of time, to not really care about the things of this world. But Lord, we want you to stay with us, Lord. We want more, Father. We want more of you. Pray you just come and open the words, Lord, back to us again. Lord, make it real to our hearts, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Let's take our Bibles together. Turn to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. Amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 12. I want to speak this morning on the subject of the personal showdown. The personal showdown. Amen. Verse 12 says, wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For ye are not come to a mount that can be touched, or that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto darkness and blackness and tempest and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But you are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Amen. Amen. There's angels brushing up against you this morning. To the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. Hallelujah. Your name was not just written on a birth certificate. Your name was written in heaven. Amen. And the God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men, not just left as just men, but made perfect. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that you refuse him not which speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things which are shaken as of things which are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we received a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably, with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. You may have your seats. Amen. Phenomenal scripture to read in this day. Knowing that many in the years that have gone on, the centuries that have come from the time it was written till now, have read this and looked for it. But you're living it. You are come to Mount Zion. Amen. There was portions of this that was fulfilled through the last 2,000 years, as the bride is not just the bride of the last day. The bride is through seven ages, all of those who came to the revelation of the Word of God in their day. But now today, there is not a single part of this scripture that is left out. You are come to the spirit of just men made perfect. You are come to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. You are come to God, the judge of all. You are come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. You are come to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. You've got a place that is a place of favor in the eyes of God. Brother Branham would say in the end times sign seed, he would say this exactly a year before the opening of the seals. And it would say, I believe that in these latter day signs and things that's happening, every one of them is peeling together to show that Christ is ready to come for his bride. As God in his word made manifest is a man, a perfect man, so is God and his word coming again and making himself manifested in a bride. Not will do like Eve did. Hybrid it with something else. But the unadulterated word of God will be born into the church. Amen. And she will stand like Jesus Christ did. And His Spirit anointed in His Word. Amen. She will stand like Jesus Christ did with His Spirit anointed in His Word. Amen. He says, I believe it's the announcement now. Exactly a year before the seals were opened and before the mysteries were broke, He makes it this way. And He says, I believe it's the announcement now, because He was announcing that this is what's taking place. The bride of Christ is coming to a place where the ability for the bride to stand just like Christ did is being opened up, so that we could step back in and do it just exactly the way He did it. With His Spirit anointing the Word in us. He would talk about, and pick up your pen and write, He would talk about there would be three showdowns, and there's three showdowns, and He would say that this, what we're living in right now, this is the final showdown. God proving the word for this day to be true. And God, in the first showdown, we know the first showdown was Mount Carmel. As He was there with Elijah, and God asked the prophet, or told the prophet, to call the people to a showdown on Mount Carmel, that if Baal be God, serve him. And if God be God, then serve him. God is never scared to call things to a showdown. He's confident in who He is. He knows exactly what He's doing. He's not scared of some other God that maybe it could fool our humanity into thinking it's something great. But it isn't anything great, because God is greater and God is higher, and He is above all and through all. Amen. And God proved it that day on Mount Carmel when they went, and we know how they danced before their altar and they built it so pretty, and they had the ox there and the sacrifice laid out in the wood under the altar. It was ready, and they tried everything. They ran lances through themselves. They cut themselves. They cried. They worshiped. And God was so confident, He began to move on the prophet to get down amongst them and begin to make fun of them. Maybe Baal's sleeping. Maybe Baal's off on a fishing trip. Maybe Baal's doing this or Baal's doing that. He just can't hear you. Call a little louder. Why? God is confident in who He is. But when it came time for the evening sacrifice, the prophet of God began to take stones, the 12 stones that represented the tribes of Israel, but stones are representative of revelation. And he began to put together the revelation of who Jesus Christ was in that day. And he began to put the wood upon it, and he put the sacrifice upon it. And we find in that day there came a pillar of fire that came out before the prophet could even end his prayer with amen, and consumed the sacrifice. It consumed the burnt offering, or the wood. It consumed the altar. It consumed all of the water that he had poured over it, and poured over it, and poured over it, because God had called it to a showdown, and God was there to back up his word. Amen. That was the first showdown, but the second showdown then was Mount Transfiguration, proving that the dispensation had changed, that it was no longer God, the great Jehovah out yonder, and God dwelling with his family, but now he was saying that I am Jesus. He was proving that Jesus is God. Amen. He was proving on Mount Transfiguration that this one standing here, when he stood on the banks of the Jordan River, and the Spirit in the form of a dove had descended upon him. And he said, this is my beloved Son. But the thing had stopped there. But now in Matthew 17, he'd said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Amen. God was proving, this is who I am. This is me walking in flesh right here today. God had called it to a showdown before three witnesses, as he'd written in his own word, but let every word be established out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. Amen. And God showed us there also the adoption process, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Not so it could be Jesus alone, but so that he could be the firstborn. So that he could have somebody that he could fellowship with. Not from up high to down low, but he could fellowship as equal. That's why Paul would write to the Philippians and say he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but let the mind that was in Christ be also in you. He's trying to bring a bride, and he is bringing a bride, not just trying because he doesn't fail. He is bringing a bride to a place where he can fellowship with her as a husband fellowships with a wife. Amen. Not looking down on her, but with communion as equal. Amen. And that day on Calvary, we talked about it on Friday, how he pulled the bride from his side and he paid for her redemption. He conquered all, showing that day on Calvary, he conquered all things, showing that dominion over sin had been established. It was not started the day at Calvary. It was not in its infancy at Calvary. It was established. It was finished. Amen. It's always, he has always had dominion over sin and he has given it to the believer. Brother Branham says, I could see him hanging there as the heavens and earth begin to turn black and the rocks are belching out of the mountains and the whole earth, the moon and the stars refuse to shine. He conquered it. And when he went down, descended down and knocked on the door where those lost souls was, when the doors opened up and those people who had laughed and made fun of Enoch, they made fun of Noah. They made fun of all these things. They begin to hear him say, I'm the one that Enoch said would come. I'm the one with 10,000s of his saints that Enoch said was coming. Why didn't you believe Enoch? I'm the one that Noah was talking about. I'm the one that closed the door. I'm the one that was there that caused it to rain. I'm the one that gave Noah the word. Why didn't you believe Noah? Everything had to know that he had conquered. When he shut the door on them, the days of mercy was passed on down into the lowest pits of hell till he knocked on that sooty door of the devil's hell. The devil comes to the door and as he looked in the sea and there he said, well, you can imagine the devil thinking, here you are after all. I thought I had you when I killed the prophets. I thought I had you when I cut John's head off in prison. Think of all those conversations as the prophets of old came down before the blood was shed on the cross. As they came down into the grave, as Noah passed away, Satan really thought he'd stop the moving of Jehovah on earth. And it seemed to be that way because God didn't deal with the humans again for 10 generations after Noah. 10 generations later that God finally called Abraham. Satan thought he had won and idolatry was spread across the world and man had turned away from God completely and they tried in the valley of Shinar to build a tower of Babel. In other words, they tried to make their own salvation, but God confused their languages and they went out from there and they still worshiped idols and Satan thought, this is it. I've won. God's great hurrah in the flood. That was the best he could do. And Satan thought, it's over. But there came an Abraham. And when Abraham finally died, Satan rejoiced. This is the end. Abraham, you've arrived. It's over now. He thought that must have been it because here was Abraham. He was an old man. He was turned young again and now he's an old man again and he passed away. That was the resurrection. That was the body change. That's it, man. It's over. But he was missing it. Abraham could pull back his shoulders and tell the devil that day, I'm not the end. I'm the father of nations. My life is just the beginning of your torment. Satan thought he could stop it with the slavery in Egypt. He thought he had them when he heard that there was a proper child being born and he put it in the heart of an evil Pharaoh who didn't know Joseph to kill every man child. But God had a little mother with a little bit of faith to put a baby in a basket and put it out amongst the crocodiles knowing that there was angels that would watch over that little baby because that was God's seed. There was a Moses that came and when Moses passed on the mountain, Satan came with glee looking for the body. I finally got him. Now I'm going to take the children of Israel. We'll destroy them with the Midianites. We'll destroy them in Canaan. They won't have a chance. The great leader Moses is gone. But as he come, then finally he thought, my, I've got the deliverer. He couldn't find the body. And he begins disputing with Michael, the Bible tells it. Where's the body? It's over. I got him. You can't take him from me like this. And what did Michael say? The Lord rebuke you. Michael could have taken him over the precipice of the mountain and show Lucifer, the camp of Israel, as they sanctified themselves, getting ready to cross over. You think you got Moses? Look at what they're doing now. They're getting ready to apply the word Moses spoke. Oh my. The real overcoming has just started. Michael, when Joshua then finally passed away, and there were still unconquered tribes in the promised land, you can read it in your Bible in Judges and Joshua. So Satan thought, I've got it now, and he caused the people to backslide, to turn to idols. There arose the Midianites. They were strong. They looked like they could wipe the little nation of Israel right off the map. They didn't stand a chance, but there arose a Gideon. A man afraid in the flesh threshing floor, in the wine press threshing wheat. Afraid, but an angel comes and says, thou mighty man of valor. Who, me? Yeah, because God called you. Brother Adam says, brother, that's it. The presence of the Almighty God, no matter what it is, He's the Lord. He's a very present help in a time of trouble. Don't be afraid. Stand your ground. When God moves, God is God. We'll do it. See, it's love. Don't despise, no matter what it is, even if it's your enemy, love him anyhow. Let God be God. He says, when God moves in the Spirit, His children moves right with it. Everywhere God moves, anytime through the Bible, you'll see healings and miracles and signs and wonders. He leaves a track behind Him of the supernatural. I don't care what theologians say, the Bible is right. When God moves, the world shakes. And when He moves at every revival they've ever had, and the breaking out of the first Reformation of Luther's day, they had healings. In the days of Wesley, they had healings. In the days of Calvin, Knox, Finney, Sankey, all the way down through. And today, it's no less than He was then. It's greater today than He was then. Hallelujah. I'm not excited. I know exactly what I'm speaking of, to be led by the Spirit. Hallelujah. When God began to move through Gideon, He wasn't looking for some great thing. He whittled it down to just 300 men and wiped a great nation that Satan thought He rose up. He wiped them right off the earth. Finally, Gideon was gone and there arose a Saul. But Saul listened to the devil and was disobedient to the word of the Lord by Samuel. Oh my, Satan thought he got it when he thought we've got it this way, because it's not the bird on the outside of the apple that kills the apple, pecking on it. Satan thought, I finally got one, the worm right in the nation, the king. Disobedient to the word, this is it. God will have to wipe it off. But God was raising up a David. A little boy out there raising sheep on the backside of the desert. Every time Satan managed to get a king to backslide, God raised up a prophet. If he thought that he had it when he got Jezebel out there, he raised up an Elijah to rebuild the altar of God and prove him to be God still. All down through the prophets, God kept moving. Satan thought he won when the Babylonians came, but God brought his people back out again. Satan thought he won when it seemed after Malachi it was over. 400 years before another prophet came. A bloody rebellion with Greece, with the Maccabees, but God wasn't in it. Rome came in and so subjected the people, so crushed their very hopes. But it was in a time like this that John the Baptist came along. Amen. He caught the attention of the devil then, and all those priests he had, Satan had bound up with a Nicolaitan doctrine. He had robbed the people of the power of God in the church, but now there's a crazy man from the backside of the desert. Amen. Eating wild locusts and honey. That finally Satan, through an immoral woman dancing before an ungodly king, he got the king to take his head off his shoulders. But imagine that conversation as John come down into paradise. Oh, Satan wanted to gloat.
Yes, amen.
Oh, but John, Satan could gloat and say, I've stopped God for 400 years. And you little upstart. Your ministry only lasted 6 months. Wow. Who do you think you are? Oh, God must really be running out of ideas. Oh, but John could look right in the face of that deceiver. Say, oh, Lucifer, you are so deluded. You have taken your eyes off the main thing. You got so caught up with me. You got so proud of yourself, you failed to see God Himself step down into human flesh. And you want to know who's coming here next, Satan? God's fixing to pay you a visit. Notice death doesn't stop God's quickening. Oh, hallelujah. It doesn't stop God's quickening power. Death can't stop it. When you've got it, it's eternal. Amen. There ain't nothing that can stop it. You can harness it. You can't harness it. You can't do nothing to it. You live your life out, but that don't stop it. Just as good as it was, it keeps on going. I've heard, but now I see. He says, now we find that in these real hours of real stress, that's usually when the Spirit of God moves in. Right about the time when we get real stressed, and how's it ever going to happen? That's when the sweetness of the Spirit of God moves in. Hallelujah. He let the Hebrew children walk right into the fiery furnace before He ever moved a hand. Oh, but when He moves, He moves. Hallelujah. When God moves, He really moves. Amen. There was angels standing there beside the side of God looking at the Hebrew children, saying, maybe I could go. Maybe I could. God said, just wait. Just wait. It ain't time yet. But the guards are dying as they're throwing them in. Just wait. I'm going down there. I know, Gabriel, you could do it. I know, Woodworm, you could do it. I know you could do it. But I want to go down myself and have fellowship with believers that would stand for me, that would know what it is to say, oh, King, live forever. But even if I die, I still won't bow to this image of a prophet. That's what that image was, as Belshazzar, as Nebuchadnezzar raised up his golden image. Brother Branham would say it was the image of Daniel. It was the image of the prophet of that day, that he made that his God and said, you need to bow to this. But God was so pleased with three men that would say, I will not bow down and worship a prophet. I worship God and Him alone, and I'm thankful for the prophet and all that he was. But Jesus is my Savior. Hallelujah. And God is so impressed with that, that He wants to come down and fellowship with you, because you won't bow down to an image of a man. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What is it? This was a different conversation. No longer is one. No longer there is one coming, but I am He, He says. He says, I can hear Him. I can hear Him. Jesus, as He's down there after He died on the cross, and as He comes down into hell, I can hear Him Himself straighten up and say, Satan, I am the virgin born Son of the living God, and my blood is still wet on the cross, and I paid the price, and I have conquered, and I have come down to take over and strip you of everything that you claim that you had. Blessed be the name of the Lord. This was a conversation Satan had never had before. When he got Abraham, when he got Noah, they kept pointing forward. They kept pointing forward. But here come one that said, this isn't just pointing forward anymore. I am the one that they were all talking about. All these things that Satan couldn't believe, because he was busy listening to his crony doubt. He was busy listening to that, and he couldn't believe what the prophets were saying down through the ages, but he feared and he trembled, because eventually there came a one. Amen. I can say, I'm He. He reached over to the side of Satan, jerked off the keys of death and hell right off of him, and kicked him back into the place where he belonged. He conquered hell. Why are you afraid of hell? He conquered hell. God owns that piece of real estate. He had the keys of hell and hanging on His side, and He rose again. And let me tell you, let me introduce to you, if you don't know Him in the power of your resurrection, let me introduce to you, ladies and gentlemen, the undisputed, undefeated champion of love. What He did that day, He didn't do to show His might. He did it for His love for you.
For the love, for the joy that was set before him, he willingly endured the cross. He says, what is the church scared about? He said, he conquered Satan, he conquered sickness, he conquered death, he conquered hell. He's on the road out. Remember, there's some more faithful that went on too. They were in place called paradise. They could not go in the presence of God because they worshiped under the shed blood of lambs and goats and so forth. It never divorced sin, it only covered sin, but that's it today, friend. You can't cover your sins and get in. You got to get rid of it. There's only one thing that will do it. It isn't your church. It isn't baptism by water. It's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that covers sins and divorces it. Hallelujah. The only means to conquer that there is through the blood of Jesus Christ. What a fitting song to sing this morning. The blood will never lose its power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As he come out, couldn't you imagine the smile on John the Baptist's face? As he just a few months earlier had that conversation with Lucifer. And now as Lucifer's looking through the people in the door as Satan's locked back in his own hell. And John just smiled. I told you. I told you there's one coming. But now, you are come to Mount Zion. Brother Branham calls it the rapture showdown. Proving, as the first showdown proved that God is God. The second showdown proved that Jesus is God. Now it's proving that she is Him. Proving once again that God is in human flesh. And this is who he is today. Amen. The announcement has been made. She at this showdown will stand just like her bridegroom did. Amen. We just read how your bridegroom stood. How he stood and hung on a cross, but it wasn't the end. He went down and he conquered and he took over. You will stand just like he stood. You don't have to hang on a cross, but you have dominion over sin. Because the dominion over sin was established back then and it still goes on today. The kingdom of God cannot be shaken. He begins the whole process. And we read in Hebrews chapter 12. He begins the whole process in verse 12 with justification. Lift up the hands which once hang down. The hands that once could not because of sin and the weight of the world that pulled them down. He says, now lift them up because I have justified you as though you have never done it in the first place. When you thought you were unworthy to praise, I've made you worthy. Lift up the hands that you have life within you to defy gravity in worship to the coming King. Make straight the pathways. Hallelujah, that the lame be not turned out of the way, but rather there's healing power in the body of Jesus Christ. He says, don't turn them out of the way, but rather heal them. That they can walk. Don't turn them out of the way with what? With complexity of doctrine. Winding the road. This is the way to salvation. You gotta go this step, and then you gotta go that step, and then you gotta go that step. Come on, you're turning the lame out of the way. When he said, what did he say? When he said, I sent it out, an invitation to the wedding. Go to the hedges, go to the ditches, go to the lame, go to the halt. Don't turn them out of the way. Make a straight pathway. Say, just get to Christ. Heal them by the power that's in you. If then that believe would lay their hands on the sick, they shall recover. I believe the Lord confirmed that last night for you. The Lord put this thought back on my heart again. It's been all three services now in James chapter 5 where he says, confess your faults one to another, pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But this morning I want to go into the next verses because he says, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. Oh, praise be to God. But Elijah, man, he must have been really spiritual. No, he was a man. Subject to like passions like we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not for the space of 3 years and 6 months. Now, I understand in Tucson that might not take a lot of faith. But imagine someone come along and say, Lord, I pray it would rain for 3 years and 6 months. Boy, that'd be faith. But Elijah, he's saying, was a man subject to like passions like we are. He was just like you and I are. He wasn't some great big thing. He was just a man. But God heard his prayer because the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. He's trying to give you faith by the word of God to say, whatever you ask for, don't doubt it in your heart and it shall happen, brethren. If you do err from the truth and if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he that converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and hide the multitude of sins. You've got a part in it. Oh, praise God. This scripture isn't just applied to physical ailments. But you can pray for one another's spiritual ailments. Spiritual lameness. That you could be prayed for by one another, that you could never, Brother Benham said, you could never overemphasize the importance of revelation. If your brother can't see something or your sister can't see something, confess your faults. Don't be angry with one another, but pray that God would give them the revelation. Because your prayer could open their eyes like it was for Elisha and Gehazi. He didn't look down on Gehazi. He prayed and God opened his eyes to the revelation that Elisha had. If revelation is beyond you, Brother Branham says, just look up and seek God for it. If revelation is beyond you and you can't see what I'm preaching about this morning, look up and seek God for it. If it's beyond you and you don't understand what your pastor's preaching about, don't go out and seek another pastor. Look up and seek God for the revelation of what's being said. If you're listening to a tape and you can't understand what's being said, look up. Seek God, the power of prayer. That is the only way, Brother Branham says, you are ever going to get it, for revelation has to come from God. It never comes by human natural endowments, but by spiritual endowment. You can even memorize the scripture, and though that is wonderful, that won't do it. It has to be a revelation from God. It has to be the word that no man can say that Jesus is the Christ except by the Holy Ghost. Amen. That revelation of Jesus Christ to you personally, it has to be the Holy Ghost in you showing you who Jesus Christ is. It cannot be any other way. You have to receive the Holy Ghost, and then and only then can the Spirit give you the revelation that Jesus is the Christ. God, the Anointed One. That's why denominations will come so close but can never quite grasp it, because they can't get the Holy Ghost to have a true revelation of the Godhead. It is the rising of the sun. Brother Branham says, and as he being the groom, remember, the bride will stand just exactly like the groom did. Remember, he being the groom, the bride has to come forth. Because it's part of him. Amen. Has to come forth. Amen. And it can only be the manifestation of the fulfilling of all the revelations any other has spoke of the bride. Notice, catch a clear distinction here. Not what anyone else has ever spoke of the bride. But all the revelations that anyone else has ever spoke of the bride. See, you must be born again to know the difference between false revelation of what the bride is and true revelation of what the bride is. And we're living in the time of the showdown of who the true bride of Christ is. You know what the unfortunate part of that is? The final end all and say all is called a rapture, a body change. And those that are out, Lord have mercy. Amen. Brother Branham says it's a time when the two spirits, right in the framework of the church, would be so close it would deceive the very elected. Amen. If it was possible. Wow. Why isn't it possible? Because the only reason it's not possible is because the elect have the Holy Spirit birth and anointing. And it is for them and them alone. See, it can only be a manifestation of the fulfilling of all the revelations any others has spoke of the bride. It can only manifest. Think about that. All that's those revelations that have been spoken, it can only manifest now. If it does something different from the groom, it isn't the bride. It's just like it was in the days of Jesus. It could only manifest all the things that were spoken, all the revelations of who he would be. Like when he was there on the road to Emmaus and he said, are you so slow in heart to believe all that what the prophets and all that have gone before the saints of old have spoke of the Messiah, spoke of me? And he just began to expound to them the scriptures. And something began to strike faith in them because the word faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And as the word of God began to be spoke to them, the word was speaking to them by the word. And as they were, it's so beautiful, as he was speaking to them, the word of God in flesh was speaking to them his own word. And it began to bring faith in their hearts where they begin to, their eyes begin to come open and go, yeah, you manifested that. Yeah, you manifested that. Yeah, you manifested that. It'll be the same way today. That the bride of Christ, just exactly like the groom stood, the bride will stand and will be able to look back at all the scriptures. He said, the bride would be, the bride would be, the bride would be, the bride would be. What is it? Oh, it's happening. She is the one that is to complete the work of the mate. It must come forth. This isn't that I hope she comes forth, but she must come forth. Amen. That she will be known by her fruits, producing the same fruit that the original tree of life produced.
That's right. Right. Amen.
She will produce it because she's not another tree. She's part of him.
Amen.
Therefore, she must produce the same fruit as the new branch of the same tree. The same things that he did, will she do also?
Amen.
Just look back and see for yourself.
Amen.
As the groom did nothing but what the Father showed him, nothing but what the headship desired, she does, so does she do nothing but what her headship tells her do.
Amen.
Oh, the character that he's looking for. Character to do what he said do, and no more. Character to say what he said say and shut up when he said be silent. That's real character. Character for when it seems like we really ought to do something. But because he doesn't say move, she doesn't move. When we do the moving, it is always disappointing. It is not enough. And it causes a lot of hurt. But when he moves, oh, he really moves. The whole earth shakes at his motion. The mountains quake at his voice. If you say to this mountain, Brother Branham says, and I've heard, but now I see, he says, same thing in Mark 11:23. If you say to this mountain, be moved, and don't doubt in your heart, but believe what you said will come to pass, you can have what you ask for. But notice what he says next. He says, but you can't stand there and just fumble in your mind to say it. You've got to be inspired to say it. Amen. Not just your words, but the quickening power of the Holy Ghost behind your words. Because he, the headship, said, say it. Oh, what kind of an harmony we would have in the churches if we just had character to do that. If we just had character to shut up when he didn't say anything. What we need is love. What we need is more of God, brother. I counsel of you to buy of me gold tried in the fire. And white raiment and eye salve. Seek with all your heart for the character of Christ, the righteousness of Christ, and the Spirit of Christ. That is what this message came to produce. Not just words, It has to be revelation to you. Not just figure it out in your mind, and I could put 33 with 63, and I got 56, and I got 65, and I got all of these different dates, and when the seals were opened, and when the seventh seal was it really open, and would this really go on, and we got this one figured out, and we got the cloud over here, and the angels, and they came from this way, and they got the rocks, and the pyramid rocks that was blasted out, we got all of these things, and we could put it in there, and Brother Branham, he was right there on the, you see it right here. You see it right here as we come up to this kind of an age, and there was Brother Branham, the messenger of the seventh church age, and we could put him right in there. We could have it all figured out in our minds. And Brother Branham says, what's the point? If it isn't revelation, where did it bring you? To a religious spirit is where it brought you. He says, even Jesus himself, what character? What of John the Baptist, they said? He didn't turn around and say, you listen to my voice. I am God made flesh. No. He said, never a man born of a woman greater than John. But you're the Messiah. But he humbled himself.
Well, amen.
They could say, why didn't John close his doors and come over here and fellowship with you? But he humbled himself and said, never a man born of a woman greater than John. Say, he was sent to bear witness of the light. Oh, but the Pharisees that mocked him and tried to trap him, why didn't he just force them to believe his words? He could have. He was God. But he never forced anyone. He said, if you won't believe my words, then believe the works. If you can't believe the works, search the scriptures. They are they that testify of me. If you can't believe the prophet, search the scriptures. They are they that testify of Brother Branham. If you can't believe the fivefold ministry, search the scripture.
Amen.
They are they that tell you that you're perfected by it.
Oh, yes. There you go, brother.
If you can't believe that there is in the last days a sinless, spotless, virtuous word seed bride of Jesus Christ, search the scripture.
Amen.
They are they that testify of us. What character to look at the same Roman soldier that just hours before drove nails through his feet, through his hands, and say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. She will manifest the same character. She will manifest all the revelations that others have spoke of the bride. You can't look at the word and the message and have a head knowledge and just try and be a good person. It has to be revelation. When something is just knowledge, you can choose to live by it by reasoning. That's how people get so propagated in their own doctrine. They can choose, I like that one and I like that one. But that other one's too hard. My wife doesn't like it. I don't like that one. I like to wear shorts when I go on vacation, so I'll leave that off for somebody else. And I like this little part over here, so I'll just leave that. And it's just a head knowledge.
Right.
So, but she can only manifest the revelation of the true blood-bought, overcoming, spirit-born, seed-word manifested bride of Christ. It is the rising of the sun. He says, therefore, your bodies is a temple of the dynamics. Because why? From the beginning, you are a part of the mechanics. Hallelujah. From the beginning, you're a part of the mechanics. But oh, there is your resurrection. There is the church in the resurrection with him. These bodies right now quickened. See, you've heard, you believe, it changed you from a denomination to a word. See, when revelation comes in, what she's saying, he's saying, what a resurrection that was. And Jesus rose from the dead. He says, what a resurrection this is. When he's raised his bride from all of our own ideas and quickened us by the spirit of revelation and given us heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Seated us there with him. I'll read the rest of this quote from Rising of the Sun because it's very familiar to all of us. I find it amazing because this is often quoted where it says, because she is flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, life of his life, power of his power. She is him. As man and woman are one, the woman taken from his side, she would take in a spirit, the feminine spirit from him, the flesh from his side, both made both mechanics and dynamics, the wife, the spirit of him and the flesh of him, and put it together and made mechanics and dynamics. But he's looking for character. Message identification. He says, and his character was that he did everything that pleased God. Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. It says he stayed with the Word. That's what he wanted us for, that we'd stay with God's Word. Amen. And find our place and then know where we were at. Stay with his Word. Think of it. We're invited to shape our own character to his. God has given you as a young person, as a father, as a mother, as a grandparent, whoever you are, a single person, he's given you an invitation to mold your character into his character. And we're going to find out that what we've done, shape our character to his own by his own spirit. Then we, by him, are sons of God. Just what I've expressed by having his mind in us to shape our character to his mind. Let the mind that was in Christ be in you. He only did that which pleased God, our groom. He knowed who he was. He came, the Son of God. He knowed he was to take that place. His character had to be that way. And then when he, having taken his place, he knowed that the Messiah was what was required of the Messiah, and he always sought God to do those things. He did nothing but what the Father showed him. But he says, but now if you find your place, sister, don't let me hurt you now, brother, but you'll find your place in the Word as a Christian. It's not what a creed said, and down here in the lower canon folder that's going to be little canon fodder that's going to be destroyed, see? You find your place as a Christian because your character is molded as Christ. You are Zoe the same as he was Zoe. God's own life. Then if the Bible said for a woman to cut her hair, that it's for a woman not to cut her hair, then how could you do it? If it says for a man to be a ruler of the house, how can a woman be? It says, what's the matter with you? You're sons of God. See, you didn't find your place. It says, watch now, you're invited to come and take his character by having his character in you. It molds you into the same mind that he was, and his mind was always to do what the Father ordained him to do. He knew who he was. He didn't step out of place. He knew he was the Messiah. He knew what was required of him. He had plenty of people trying to convince him not to do it. You don't have to die. You just set up your kingdom right now. They didn't understand what his purpose was. They didn't understand the word that was pertaining to him until later when they received the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost gave them revelation of who Jesus was. Then Peter could stand up and realize, this is that. Then Stephen could stand and preach to the Pharisees. Then all of these things could happen. Not before then. Why? Because it took the Holy Ghost in them to give them the revelation of who Jesus Christ really was. But Jesus knew who he was, and he didn't step out of his place. He knew he had to die. He knew he had to go through these things. He knew he had to be in this kind of a way. So will it be in this last day that the bride of Christ will stand just like her bridegroom, that she'll stand just like he did, doing what? Standing in her place. Knowing exactly what he said, I'm to be, that's what I'll be. Amen. He promised me that I'll be an overcomer, so I'll be an overcomer. He promised me that I will rule and reign with him, so I'll rule and reign with him. He promised me that's Christ in me, the hope of glory, so therefore I have a hope of glory. It's his word, not my word. It's about him. Hallelujah. He promised me that the saints would judge the world. I'm not preparing myself to be judged. I'm preparing myself to judge. That's the reality of it. The basis of the message is about Christ, not us. Because of that, it shows our position in Christ. It maintains the focus on Him, not her. You're not another servant sent to attract the attention to the message. You're the ones that's to live the message. You're not John the Baptist saying, here He comes. You're the one that's saying He's here. And by Him being lifted up in your lives, He will draw all men unto Himself. The Bible says in Revelation 3:18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire that thou mayest be rich. Brother Brown says that is the character of Christ. He says in white raiment that thou mayest be clothed. That is His righteousness, not our righteousness. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. But this is His righteousness, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. How do we see? By the oil of the Holy Ghost. Anointing our eyes. What should this end time bride be seeking for today? Character, righteousness, and the Holy Spirit. We ought not to be seeking after other things. That's what so attracted the king to Esther. She didn't take everything else that all these other women in Florida said, I like this one and I like that one and I like that one. She looked at the king's servant and said, you know what he likes. You clothe me with what he likes. With only that which the king wants me to be clothed in. Clothe me in that, because that will attract his attention. That's the bride of Christ. She knows what he wants done with the word. She speaks when he says speak. She's silent when he's silent. She does only what he wants done. And that is such an attraction to the king. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Jesus is looking for a bride of character, one that he can put his word into, and she knows what he wants done with the word. Hallelujah. He says, and in end time evangelism, he says, you might hear me preach these messages and you might see the Holy Spirit discern and do these things and perform miracles. You might pray and it might never come to pass, but he says, you go on anyways. Your reward comes at the end. Amen. Hallelujah. Your reward comes at the end. Don't worry. You say, well, I prayed for great signs and wonders, but God's looking at you saying, you don't need great signs and wonders. What you need is the word of God, to take God at my word, because your reward is at the end, because you will rule and reign with Christ in the New Jerusalem. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord, partaking of the fruit of the tree of life that changes itself once every month. What a beautiful thing to be a part of that, where the Lamb is the light. You will sit with Him in His throne. Your reward is greater than what has ever been before. Don't seek for it here. You are not come to the mountain that can be touched with hands. You are come to a spiritual mountain. You are coming to Mount Zion. Oh my, he says, you might do it that way. He says, wouldn't it be better right there? He says, you see, just do Jesus a service. This is the end time message. He had a bride. God is looking for character, and went after Eliezer, found the character. The next thing he did was get her ready to go. That's the same thing right now, brother. The end time message is not out yonder in Babylon. Oh, church, that ought to be such a rebuke to each and every one of us. We ought not to be looking out on YouTube. Well, this man says this, and that one says that, and that one says that. And I've got to stream every single service I can possibly get my hands on. You need to get into the message of the hour. Hallelujah. You come into the church and you be here in church. Why? To get the inspiration of what was spoken on the tapes. That's what Brother Branham says in Thyatira Church Age, I believe it is, or Pergamene Church Age. That's the deception of the devil. He's still playing the same game, the game that he was playing in the Garden of Eden. He's deceiving. He doesn't need to take away the word. He just needs to pump it full of knowledge, to explain it beyond what the scripture tells us. That's always been his game. If he can't hold you back, he'll try and push you over. He isn't scared of the mechanics. Come on. He's had the mechanics here the whole time. He's not scared of the mechanics. He's scared of the dynamics coming into the mechanics and making it live. The valley of dry bones that Ezekiel saw, it wasn't a great army as a heap of messed up bones. But all the mechanics were there. It wasn't a great army even when the bones all came together. It still wasn't a great army when the sinew and the flesh came upon the bones. Though those were all essential parts before the wind could breathe the breath of life into them. But when God commanded them, now prophesy to the wind. Hallelujah, just like the Holy Ghost, it comes and goes as the wind. You know not where it comes from, but you know it's there. When the breath of life come in, then it was a great army. and it went into action. See, we're commanded in Revelation chapter 10. We could take about it, and there's plenty of people that believe Revelation 10:7, that in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, all the mystery of God should be finished. And if they look at that and go, praise God, that was Brother Branham, hallelujah, bless the Lord, we've got all the mysteries revealed, and they leave it right there. Satan isn't scared of Revelation 10:7. He's scared of going beyond that. Because what happens when it goes beyond that? He says, and I took the book out of the angel's hand, and I ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before the peoples and nations and tongues and kings. That's what scares the devil. That's what he's shaking in his boots over. When you get a revelation of the true church and who she is, you'll be able to discern between the two spirits that are working in the framework of the church. Why? Because you took the book. You ate the book. You became him. That's what he's worried about. Amen. The bones have been put together. The flesh and the sinews are on the bride. And the winds by prophecy, the inspired word of God. That's what prophecy is. It's the inspired word of God are blowing to give you eternal life. Oh, a great, undisputed, undefeated champion of each age. Jesus Christ in the flesh. Remember, you are not come to the mountain that can be touched with hands. Don't be deceived by outward manifestations.
Oh, come on, amen.
You are come to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Flesh of his flesh.
Amen.
Bone of his bone.
Amen.
The bride has the mind of Christ and she knows what he wants done with the word.
Amen.
She performs the command of the word in his name and she has thus saith the Lord. Then the word is quickened by the Spirit and it comes to pass.
Amen.
Like a seed that's been planted and watered, it comes to full harvest, serving its purpose. Those in the bride do only his will. I'm reading from Pick Up Your Pen and Write. No one can make them do otherwise. Oh, I love that. No one can make them do otherwise. Oh, they've tried. There's been weapons formed against us. But did they prosper? No, sir. They have thus saith the Lord, or they keep still. They know that it has to be God in them doing the works, fulfilling his own word.
Amen.
He will not complete all his own work while in his earthly ministry. He did not complete it. So now he works in and through the bride.
Wow.
And she knows that. For it was not yet time for him to do certain things that he must do now. But he will now fulfill through the bride the work that he has left for this specific time. Testimony on the sea, he says, God have mercy on us. If we're sons and daughters of God, yet we're an alien in this life. God is looking for character from men and women who can conduct themselves as sons and daughters of the King.
Amen.
He says, God have mercy on us. That's what I'm afraid of, character. That's what God is pulling for.
Amen.
Character in the bride.
Amen.
For that bride that will be taken out and sons and daughters of God. Let's act like it.
Amen.
Be sons and daughters of God.
Amen.
How do I do that? Brother Branham says, I'm not a politician. Let me say it myself. I'm not a politician. He says, I'm neither Democrat nor Republican. You know the next statement he says is? They're all filthy. I was in 1965 and knoweth it not. He says, I'm for one kingdom. And that's the kingdom of Jesus Christ. That's all. But how in the world did you ever see a bunch of puppets like we got up there now? Oh, my.
Amen.
If he could only see him today, huh? They may not let me out of the States. They might arrest me for this one. Like a bunch of Texans we got up in there. I don't know where they're from now. He says, they say whatever the people wants. If they want communism, we'll give them communism. That's never been more real. If they want integration, we'll give them integration. You want segregation, we'll give you segregation. Whatever you want. But he says, oh God, just like the pulpit, where's a man that's man that stands for principle? Where's the women that stands for principle? Where's the church that stands for principle and ain't got a nickel's worth for all of the wishy-washy, given compromising spirit? A woman is a woman, let her be a lady. And a man is a man, let him be a man. If he's a president, where's our John Quincy Adams? Where is our Abraham Lincoln's? Man of principle, our Patrick Henry's. Give me liberty or give me death. Where's the man that stands for what's right? Where's the man that speaks out regardless if it's the world against him? Speak out for what's right and stand for it and die for it. Where's our Arnold von Winklers today? Where's the man of integrity? Where's the man with spirit that they're so wishy-washy and gommed up until they don't know where they're standing? God, let me stand with the principles of one man as a minister, the word of Jesus Christ. For heavens and earth will pass away, but it'll never fail. On this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will never prevail against it. Praise God. We need men and women like that, and I believe that's the kind of bride that Jesus Christ is coming for. Ones that will stand on His word and His word alone and let every other man's word fail, because it doesn't matter. No matter how foolish I look in the eyes of man, I'll stand with this. As they sing the song, I'll stand for Jesus and let the world go by. I need to take a step back if that's okay, as we're trying to close. Don't worry, I'm about to close, as I think a brother says. In the process of the rapture, Brother Branham would preach about it in the rapture message. He'd say, there's three things that happens. There's a shout, a voice, and a trumpet. He says, they has to happen before Jesus appears. Jesus does all three of them when he descend, when he's descending. A shout, what is a shout? It's a message to bring forth first. The living bread of life, bringing forth the bride. The first thing is a shout, then a voice, then a trumpet, a shout, a messenger getting the people ready. The second is a voice of the resurrection. He says it's the same voice, that a loud voice in St. John 11, 38, 44, that called Lazarus from the grave. It's the same voice getting the bride of all seven ages together. He says, then the resurrection of the dead, see, to be caught up with it. Now what takes place? The next is what? It's a trumpet. A shout, a voice, a trumpet. Now the third thing is a trumpet. It's always the feast of the trumpets. It's calling the people to a feast. There'll be the bride's supper, the lamb's supper of the with the bride in the sky. The first thing comes forth is his message, calling the bride together. The next thing, the resurrection of the sleeping bride. The next thing, the trumpet, the feast of the trumpets in the sky. Feast in heaven in the sky. This is not some far out revelation. This is not something that we're looking for in the future. This is where the bride of Christ is living at right now. You are not come to a mountain that can be touched by hands. But we're not here that we're the mountain that will be touched by hands, that it's under that mountain that he says there was a literal voice, there was a literal shout, there was literal trumpet. We're not in that kind of a time anymore, but this is in your mountain. You are come to a spiritual mountain. The voice of the message was not the voice of William Branham. It was the voice behind the voice. Amen. The voice of revelation that began to speak and called the bride together. Wasn't rallying around a man, it was rallying around revelation of Jesus Christ in our day. The shout is not literally your voice, but it's the voice of Christ in the bride. The same voice that cried out the inspired word of God, Lazarus, come forth. It's the same voice that will speak out. Hallelujah. The trumpet is not a literal trumpet that will be heard with fleshly ears, but it is a secret catching away of the bride from all ages. It's a secret spiritual meeting place. Our dominion is a dominion over sin. He says it's in force right now through the power that is in the Spirit of Christ that indwells us. Every kingdom on earth is going to be torn down, but ours will remain. He says this was the trouble with Pentecost. They were always looking for a physical manifestation. They always wanted a physical. Saints, we aren't going back to that. We need a physical. We need someone to speak in tongues. We need someone to have blood here. We need someone to have oil here. We need a sign. We need something. He says, a wicked and an adulterous generation seeks after a sign. You are not a Vashti. You are not here to be Vashti stuck in the gifts of the king and having your own feast while rejecting the giver himself. That's not you. You are an Esther. One that has all the gifts but still desires fellowship with the king. This showdown, it came with signs. Every showdown came with signs. You go back to the first showdown. What was it on Mount Carmel? A pillar of fire that consumed the sacrifice, consumed the altar, consumed the word. And what was it that came afterwards? A cloud the size of a man's hand. A pillar of fire and a cloud. What was it on Mount Transfiguration? The second showdown. If you go read it, it said that his face shone as the sun. Why? Because the pillar of fire was just a veil, just the same thing as the flesh of Jesus Christ. It couldn't be a separate. It was the same one shining out, showing the pillar of fire was right there. Yeah. Hallelujah. And what was it? If you go read it in Matthew 17, he says, and then there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and there was a voice that came out of the cloud. A cloud and a pillar of fire. What was it today? We've got the picture from Houston Coliseum of a pillar of fire over a man representing this message. Not this man, this message. This man is my messenger, but it's the message that he's speaking that will bring the bride to the rapture. And then what happened? A cloud. Proving this is the showdown. If you can't believe the sign that was given, there will not be another sign given. That's what Jesus told them. It came again, proving the showdown in a pillar of fire and a cloud in our day, allowing himself to be photographed, allowing himself to be seen and photographed in a cloud. Your showdown is a private meeting with you and God alone. It is a personal showdown, preparing you for the rapture. Talks about the vision of the third pole in 1956. The message, what is a vision? He says, now, here's something. Notice close. He says, there's a difference between the angel of the Lord and that light. He says, because I heard something moving. He's talking about the vision as he was there and as he was watching. He says, I heard something moving as it does when it comes up at the platform, kind of and like a fire whipping around, licking blaze. And he says, and it left me and it went right down over the top of the audience and it went and stood over the top of that little building. And then behind me, the same voice, the angel's voice said, I'll meet you in there. You see? And then, this is the third pole, but nobody will know nothing about it. He says, well, I don't understand. Why in there? Why there? Because it's not a public show. This time. See, I don't understand. Why's it got to be in a closet like that? He said, is not it written by our Lord? He says, when thou prayest, be not like the hypocrites who do it to be heard before men, but enter into the secret place of your closet. Thy Father which seeth in secret will reward thee openly. It's perfectly the scripture every time. He points right back to that. And I think he would say in one place in the seals, he would say, I didn't really realize the seven seals, how it would just slide right back into the scriptures. How it would just come right back in there. He thought he was looking for something else, but it's not a physical manifestation. It's a secret, private experience. It's a secret place. Like that little armoire girl. She met the boss's son. As he come down there looking for a bride. There was a lot of public show inside. But he stepped out. Behind where it was just him and her. And made her a promise. And nobody else heard it. And they all mocked her and they all made fun of her. And they thought, well, she's crazy. I never heard that. I never heard that revelation before. What are you talking about, serpent seed? What are you talking about, body change? What are you talking about, all these things? What are you talking about? She is him. That's crazy. I never heard those things before. Oh, but I heard it. He told it to me. It was personal to me. It's a secret place. He says, did you ever walk out in the morning and just feel that real fresh, cool feeling? God has reflected his earth, has refreshed his earth fragrance. Did you ever go into the rose garden down by my place? They got little honeysuckles. And the honeysuckle don't smell much in the heat of the day, but it's early in the morning when all the air has been purified, that the aroma of the honeysuckle. He said, just let a man be out fussing and fighting and stewing. You'll never get much of the aroma of that gospel. But let them get alone one time in the stillness of God. Every man that comes to the pulpit ought to dwell alone first. Amen. Then come to with fruits yielded forth its fruit, yielding forth its fruits. Every man that stays in the presence of God into this secret, great secret place, hide away. Every man that does that will yield the fruits of righteousness. Peace, love, joy, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, patience. Says, don't fuss about these other things. Get that in your life. You'll never get it until you hide away with God into the land of adoption. He says, and why are people so tossed about? He says, and a man that once walks with God, walks into God, and the veil drops around him, shutting off the things of the world, he's in the presence of God, eating the manna. No wonder, 12 o'clock, 9 o'clock, later or anything, he's living in the presence of the King. No wonder every day is fine to him. He knows where he's at. He has found the secret place. He's went behind the veil. The doors closed behind him. He don't see nothing of the world. Them doors are made so soundproof by sheepskin and goatskins. And that this is made so soundproof by the baptism of the Holy Ghost that hides a man in Christ to where he becomes a new creature. And he walks daily before him in this manner. What a beautiful picture of the believer in the presence of God. All things are his then. All things was given to Christ. All that God was, he poured into Christ. All that Christ was, he poured into the church. This is not an emotional showdown. Who can have the biggest tents? Who can have the biggest, the loudest, the most speaking in tongues? It's not an emotional showdown. You haven't come to a mountain that can be touched with hands. This is a personal showdown. I'm compelled to encourage you. You're standing on the precipice of time. Right now, we're standing in a place where the proof of the Word is living in human flesh. When every demon and Lucifer himself is standing watching, seeking to devour the seed as it comes forth. Revelations tells us that. But every angel is holding his breath, watching at this great moment. The Bible says when the seven seals revealed silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. Wherever God is, there's a lot of noise. It tells me God ain't there anymore. Not in the way he was. But now he's come down into a people. And that right at a time of a showdown, is this really her? Is this really the bride? Is this really the bride to that bridegroom? As all of heaven is quiet watching. All of hell shaking. Watching. Wondering. All of it building to this moment. Is this really the spotless, virtuous, sinless Word, seed, bride of Christ? Because if I'm honest, on the outside it don't look like it. But it's not a physical mountain. Is she really flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, life of his life? Is this really the one that he gave himself for? Is this Zion? Is this the new Jerusalem? Is this the one that would come down out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband? Could this really be the one that has obtained favor in the sight of the Lord? That your character has caught the attention of His love?
Wow. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah.
There was a man one time that got his life so hidden away in Christ, in the Word for his age, that he was a businessman in the USA, and he was a lawyer, and he had great real estate assets and different things. Maybe I won't tell the story just exactly right, but I trust I'll get as close as I can. But as he sat there, and he was a Christian, and Satan come by his way. And there became a fire in Chicago that burned a lot of Chicago. This man lost all his assets. I wonder how many would have given up and said, it ain't worth it now. But this man also, he had had four daughters and a son. He'd lost his son to scarlet fever. How many would have given up at that point? Lost all my goods, lost my son. There's something in him that did the right thing, and he began to book a chartered ship for his children, his remaining, his daughters, his wife, to go to England. Not on a little vacation that they could get away on a beach and just relax away from everything. That's fine if you need to do that. But to go to a D.L. Moody convention. So we need to be recharged by God. They were going to go to some special meetings, just like you are this morning. And he sent them away for that purpose. And he had to stay behind for some business meetings, and then he would head off and meet them there and be at the convention with them. He got a letter back in the mail, telegram, I believe it was. And I came back to him and said, from his wife, it just said, survived alone. And here was a man that had just lost everything. His four daughters had been killed. His two ships had collided. One of the ones his wife and daughters were on, and all four of his daughters died. His wife was saved alone. And she was waiting for him there. They're a whole ocean apart, waiting for him, grieving for their loss. But now as this man, he gets on the ship. And the story goes that he got on the ship. His man was Horatio Spafford. He got on the ship and as he sailed out across, grieving already. And the captain would announce and say, Horatio, we're about at the spot where your daughters died. 3 miles under the ocean, they lay. Today, in the weakness of people's minds, the suicide rates that are the way they are, maybe many would have jumped. Many would have thought, well, I might as well go join them. That's a thought of the devil right there. But he got on his knees, I believe, right there on the bow of the boat. So he just stood there. Something began to come to his heart. When peace, like a river. How is that possible? You lost everything. Your children are all gone. Your wife ain't even with you. She's waiting for you way over in England. How can you possibly? Attendeth my way. When sorrows like sea billows roll. Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well. There was a man who'd shut his life in. The world and all that it had to offer just didn't matter. What mattered was that he knew his soul was well with the Lord. We had another man in our day was our wave chief. Walked alone with God. All by himself. With a revelation that he couldn't fellowship with anyone else on. But God said, I'll be your portion. He walked through the Catalina Mountains. He walked through the Colorado Mountains. And God said, won't you just walk with me? He was up there. There was a snowstorm coming. And he said, I got to get down. But a hand just reached on his shoulder. Turn around. There's nobody there. Won't you just walk with me? Everything else just ceased to matter. He thought, maybe this is the end. Maybe I'll die here. Maybe this is it. It's over. But it just didn't matter anymore. He thought, maybe this is the fulfillment of that vision where this is how I'm going to die and I won't be able to come back. Maybe Joseph will find my Bible up here under a tree somewhere and he'll be able to take this message on. And maybe something like that would happen, but it didn't happen that way. It was the Lord saying, hey, walk with me. Let everything else just drop off around you. That wasn't just for a prophet. God has a bride that he wants fellowship with. Now he's here trying to ask you, won't you walk with me? Won't you come and be with me? This is a personal showdown. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. Just walk with me. Don't worry about what the other churches are doing. Just walk with me. Don't worry about all those other fusses and stewing and everything else going on. Just close the door behind you. Just be in the presence. What happened in that presence? He said, I turned back young again for a moment. I seen Mita there, her hair all nice and black again. Why? That's the way it is in the presence of life. Death and life cannot coexist together. Fear not, little bride. It's well with my soul. Though all the world around us fail, I know in whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor principalities nor power, nothing can separate us from the love of God. The Bible says, be careful for nothing. Don't look to the left or to the right. Just keep your eyes on him and only believe. She will do it just like her husband did it. Amen. She'll do it just like her husband did that day on the cross. Amen. That her last moments on earth could be, Father, forgive them. Amen. As he said in Hebrews chapter 12, wherefore we've received a kingdom that cannot be moved. Let us have grace. No matter what you see, all of the horribleness in the world and the sin and the debauchery and the things going on, what comes out of our heart? I don't believe the bride of Christ is walking around going, just let it all burn. But rather, Lord, forgive them. Is there one more soul? Lord, would you save another? Her life so hid in Christ that nothing else matters but Christ and him alone. O rock of ages cleft from me, let me hide myself in thee. Let's bow our heads together. We've received a kingdom that cannot be moved. Let us have grace. Let us serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Our God is a consuming fire. Either he'll burn it here or he'll burn you there. The Holy Ghost can burn out all the dross. Take care of all of those things that have been the flesh and all of the desires of the world and take you and mold and shape you. You have been invited to be molded into his character. How many would desire that this morning and say, Lord, I desire to have that gold tried in the fire. Be it unto me according to thy word, Lord. I know what I'm asking for, Lord. I know it's going to be trials. I know it's going to be hard. I know there's going to be things happen. There'll be things come. There'll be isms rise. There'll be schisms. There'll be all kinds of things. But Lord, give me the character. Lord, I just take you at your word, and by that word, we crest every wave. Heavenly Father, Lord, just in the soberness of this atmosphere, Lord, coming to the close of a Labor Day meetings and having seen you move in such a powerful way, it's only you can do, Lord Jesus. Lord, we're so thankful, Father, that we could be called one of them. Lord, we're thankful, Father, that you've given us the invitation to have our character molded into yours. Lord, maybe it would seem that we ought to close meetings by worshiping and just rejoicing and just jumping off the walls, as it were. But Lord, we want to make sure we're ready at all costs. Lord God, whatever it takes, Lord Jesus, we want to be there. We want to be numbered with the few, Lord. If, Father, when you pull that scarlet strand, Lord, we'd be found in Christ. We'd be held and hold right onto it, Lord. Knowing, Lord Jesus, that it's only your blood that saves, that cleanses, that washes. Lord, and we put our faith in that, Lord. Father, we pray the blood of Jesus over this church here this morning. Thank you for Brother Doug, Lord, for his burden, for his love, for you, for the people, Lord Jesus. Lord, I thank you for a godly pastor, Lord. Pray you bless him and give him wisdom, Lord, in the weeks and years to come, if you dare. Lord, just be his portion, Father. Lord, of all the things that would raise, that would come, that would go, be with the deacons, Father, I pray. Lord, may you bless them, Lord Jesus. Give them wisdom beyond their humanity, Lord. Father, remember each one that would sit here under the sound of my voice. Those that are away, Lord, I think, Lord, of Brother Doug's youngest son, Lord, how he would have loved to be here, but had to be away working and supporting his family. Lord, bless him, Father. Lord, you know the others that had to be away this weekend, had plans, had things going on. Lord Jesus, I pray you be with them. Bring them back home safely. Lord Jesus, we need to just put our trust in you more each day, Lord. You're our only hope of glory. Without it, Father, we truly fail. And Lord, we have all fallen. We've all come short of the glory of God. But oh, we're thankful for your grace that picks us up again. May we be found in you, Father. We commit each one to you, Lord. Pray you just give them the desires of their heart. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. What if we could stand together and just sing that chorus? Into the chamber, be free, Holy Spirit. Into the chamber, be free. Speak to me gently as I close the door. Heavenly lover, let thy presence come. Shekinah is all. It's just you and God alone. Let him be the headship personally to you.
We love
that song. I feel the pull. I feel the pull. I feel the pull. I hear the voice, and God's Spirit's moving to give my all to me.
Second verse together. I went to hear the word.
Oh, I went to hear.